Hey. Say hey. Hey, I want to talk about today at 2 o'clock. Honestly, we need your help. This is an all-church event. We all need to help, please. Would love it if you were there. Last year, we had such a great turnout to help us get everything out there. And I hope you noticed the Old West Town out there. That is new this year. Can't wait to see it all lit up. Lots of work has been going on there. So anyway, would love to see you guys there. It's not going to rain today, so you get to go outside. Yay, I know. So I want to talk to you a little bit about something that maybe not all of you have experienced, but have you ever had God speak to you about some life-changing shift in your life? Something that would be a major change for you and maybe your family. Maybe it's a move. Maybe it's a job change. Maybe, I don't know, it could be anything that takes a lot of faith. Maybe there's something that you think God might be in or might have spoken to you about, but it's such a big decision that you just want to be sure that it's God. Well, if you haven't, that's okay. Lots of time for you. God sometimes does those things in our lives. But today we're going to dive into the Christmas story, and it's a three-week series I've simply entitled Savior of the World. And today is when God speaks. And we're going to take a look at Mary and what was spoken to her. And I think it's safe to say that what happened in her life, I mean, there's a lot of things that happen in this world over the centuries, but I would say for her life was the biggest change that has ever happened to any life, was to Mary. Yeah. I mean, she became pregnant without relations with a man. I'd say that's number one. Being told that not only was this going to happen, but that this was going to be the Son of God, and she wasn't crazy. She was very lucid, very, thought well. People have thought things like that over time, and they were just a little bit crazy. But she was not. There's so many things for us to learn about God from the scriptures that we're going to study. And I want us to continue to return, though, to the incredible gift, the child in the manger who would be the hope for all mankind. And it's he that we celebrate this Christmas season, the Savior of the world. And so though we may kind of head to a different topic, we're going to head right back into the child and the baby in the manger and all that he has done. So we're going to begin in Luke chapter 1, where the text describes a temple priest named Zechariah. And I'm just going to kind of explain this to you. We'll go there in a second. But he had a wife named Elizabeth. They were getting older. They couldn't have children. Zechariah, being a priest of God, was chosen by lot to burn incense in the temple. And when he did so, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. And this angel told him his prayer had been heard and that he would have a son who was called by God to be set apart for ministry. And he would be great in the sight of the Lord. Now, he would not be the son, but he will be a forerunner to the Son of God. And in a unique circumstance, in verse 15, the angel says that this child to be born to Zechariah and to his wife Elizabeth was to be filled with the Holy Spirit before he was born. That's how special this child was. Now, Luke chapter 1, you've got it up there. Here we go. Verse 16, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Now, Zechariah was to name this child John, And how many Johns do we have in the congregation today? Raise your hand. One. It's a good name. Only one today? Two. Oh, I knew it. Okay. Well, John's a good name. You know why? Because it means God is gracious. And such a perfect name for this child who is to be known, as we know, as John the Baptist. And as God, through Christ, was going to reveal his grace to mankind. And so John is the forerunner to Christ, preparing the way. God's grace is usually defined as undeserved favor. I usually explain the word grace for the reason that when I was first a Christian, I didn't understand what it meant. And so the Christian term for grace is different than you hear normally out there, I guess, in the world. So undeserved favor. And grace cannot be earned. It's something is freely given. We count on God's grace and the bridge that he built in our relationship with him. There's lots of Bible verses about grace. They just abound. And from the foundation of the Old Testament, we know that grace is part of God's character. And I am so grateful for that. The more that I have studied in recent weeks and then studying for this three-part series, grace just comes pouring off of the pages to me. Our undeserved favor and all that God has done. All right, so when he names his child John, he's saying that while John the Baptist is going to prepare the way for the Messiah, the entire plan of God for salvation is through his grace, and John will prepare the hearts of the people to be ready for their Messiah. So for those that are willing to hear, John is going to prepare the way so that many people will come to the Lord. So Luke 38, we move along. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Yes, Mary. So we're talking about the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. So I've never been pregnant. I never will be. And I have no idea what that's like. To me, it would be a mind blower that you have this living being that grows inside of you. That's why one of the reasons it's such a miracle every single time. But think about the sixth month of pregnancy for Elizabeth. And the angel Gabriel, he was sent to Mary. And as we read through this portion of scripture, it's in doing some research about Luke's gospel, many people believe, and for good reason, because it's so personal, that Luke probably interviewed Mary. Because when you read some of these portions of scripture, it's what she felt. It's what she was thinking. Verse 28 says, and he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. So I think of Mary being interviewed by Luke, and she's remembering the encounter with the angel. And I think she was sharing how she initially reacted when this angel made a declaration to her. And, you know, sometimes when there's angels in the Bible, there is great glory. There's the glory of God, and other times they don't recognize the angel. Well, in this case, I believe that she did, and we'll see why here in a moment. The word greetings in Greek has to do with the word rejoice. So this is an occasion of joy for Mary. This is what the angel was saying. And really, if you think about Mary, in the eyes of the world, she's a nobody. She's just a person, just like you and me. And so this angel says, you know, rejoice, favored one. I mean, I'm sure she's thinking, why am I favored? What is it that's going to be asked of me? And in addition to that, the angel next says to Mary to don't be afraid. So we know that something happened that could cause her to be afraid. So I'm sure that the glory of the Lord was there. The glory of the Lord sometimes can cause people to withdraw and be afraid. But verse 30 says, and the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So we find a lot from this statement about Jesus Christ. There's four things I have listed. One is that his name will be Jesus, which means the Lord is salvation. The second thing is he will be great. And by great, he will be a significant and powerful figure. And the third thing is not just powerful, but the Son of the Most High. And the fourth thing is he is the promised Davidic Messiah, which the entire nation of Israel has been looking for hundreds and hundreds of years and looking for. This is it. This is that moment. Now, the Davidic Messiah is a term that references the fulfillment of the promise that was made to King David centuries earlier. And in 2 Samuel 7, that through one of David's descendants, God's everlasting kingdom would come. And the throne of this son, David, would be established forever. The child to be born, the child that Gabriel tells Mary that she will bear, this Jesus will be the great Davidic Messiah who will usher in the kingdom of heaven, an eternal kingdom of blessing and peace. Now, verse 34, I'm just going to read this portion. It won't be on the screen. Mary said to the angel, well, how will this be since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Wow. Thought about this a lot of times, as I'm sure you have, that Mary would hear all of this incredibly miraculous stuff, these things that are going to impact her life so tremendously, and her response is so wonderful. I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. So when God speaks to us, in particular when it's something that's going to be great change, a great shift in your life, or maybe even seems impossible, he's going to always confirm his word to you. And this is what happened to Mary. She had many confirmations as to what was going to happen. And even after Christ was born, there were many confirmations that indeed her son was to be the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Now we're going to look at a few of these confirmations, and I don't know. I don't know what could be going through your head after this visitation. Would you think later, was it a dream? Was it just a dream? I'm going to be, you know, that she was going to be pregnant, that was going to be the Son of God, the Messiah. She's no one. I'm sure that those questions had to have happened. Like, what? What in the world just happened to me? Okay, we're going to look at a few confirmations. The first was that Elizabeth called Mary the mother of my Lord. Now, Elizabeth and Mary were relatives, but we don't know for sure in what way. We always think they were cousins, just in doing a little research. We don't know that for sure. It does say that they were relatives. Now, Mary visits Elizabeth, and remember, word of mouth was the thing then, but even word of mouth outside of your area, I'm sure didn't happen as fast as it does today. And no phones, no text messaging, no internet, nothing like that. So you really don't know how things are going in other areas, at least not very quickly. So it says, and I'm going to read this, verse 39, "In those days Mary arose, went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth." Now, before I go further, I just want to say, this isn't something she could have just told anybody, right? People are going to say, "You're nuts. You're losing your mind." But it says, with haste. So right away, she goes and sees Elizabeth because she hears from the angel that Elizabeth, in her old age, now is pregnant. So she's probably like, she might get it. She might understand this. "So when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord.'" Now, if you're Mary and this crazy stuff has happened to you and you're like, what in the world? And you go to Elizabeth and just a second, you step in the door. Total confirmation. And I love the last part. "Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her." See, God knows our hearts. I'm going to mention that several times because that's what comes through in all of these portions of Scripture, is our hearts. And Mary must have just had the most incredible heart for God to come to her. All right, the second one I'm going to mention is the man Simeon in the temple. That's Luke chapter 2, 25 through 35. Jesus was the firstborn son of his family, so he had to be consecrated to the Lord, so his parents brought him to the temple. I'm going to read this to you, verse 25 through 35. "So now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." Holy Spirit's mentioned several times here. "And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God." Okay, think of Mary and Joseph, and they're bringing Jesus in. She's had some confirmation with Elizabeth, but then they come in, and this is what happens. Verse 29, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And then verse 33, "His father and his mother," Mary and Joseph, "marveled at what was said about him. Simeon blessed them, said to Mary, his mother," this is a little bit cryptic, "'Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.'" Now, I'm sure that Mary remembered this throughout the life of Jesus, especially when he went through so many really difficult times and, of course, crucified. And I'm sure her heart just was broken. The third one is the prophetess Anna. Now, this appears to have happened at the same time, because it says, there was a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. So she was, you know, widow many, many years, 77 or whatever it is. She did not depart from the temple. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. I think my math was wrong, by the way. And it's bothering me. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So not only does this man, Simeon, come and prophesy these things, then this other lady who was probably known to people who would go into the temple, she would be there a lot, begins to speak of Jesus to all who are waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So we have these two people saying all these things. Now, the fourth one I'm going to mention is the three wise men, and I'm going to speak on the wise men in 2 weeks. But for now, we're going to see them as just in another incredible confirmation to Mary that her child is the Messiah. You know, as I said, it's not like today. She wouldn't know these people were coming. Matthew 2:10-11, when they saw the star, this is the wise men, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So the three wise men, they know about Jesus from lands far away. So this was another incredible confirmation to Mary and, of course, Joseph. Now the fifth one, I'm going to use John the Baptist because he said so many things about Jesus. Now, this is, of course, as Jesus is getting older. And John 1:29, the next day, he, being John, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel.'" And he says, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent one to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" And then verse 34, "And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." Now, I don't know if Mary was there when he said this. It doesn't say that. But I am sure she certainly would have heard about it. Now, there's many more confirmations that Mary received, certainly at his birth and throughout the life of Jesus. And Luke 2:19 says, "But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart." I can hear her saying this to Luke. Now, certainly this is, for us as human beings, the greatest event that's ever been. Mary's child was the Savior of the world, and through him, mankind has hope, not only in this life, but for eternity. And it's easy to see why God would grant to Mary so many incredible confirmations about the child. But let's look at our own lives. God remains the same. When he speaks to us, something faith in your life. He understands our frailty and he cares about us, just as he cared about Mary. She is revered as such an incredible person. Catholic circles, she's regarded as an official saint. But, you know, Mary was just a regular person. But she obviously, as I mentioned earlier, had an incredible heart. For those kinds of people, rich or poor, are the ones that God can use incredibly. 2 Chronicles 16:9, I love this verse. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Do you need strength today? How's your heart? God will strengthen you. God will strengthen you. It's not how perfect you are, but what is the condition of your heart in relationship to God? And as I said, it appears that the heart of Mary was exceedingly, I thought about it, soft, kind, committed to God. She must have been quite a person from that standpoint in the eyes of the Lord. And speaking of confirmations, I just want to tell a brief story, personal story. I remember when Teresa and I had lived in San Luis Obispo, California for 8 years. We loved it there. I still love that area. There's a lot more people there now, but it's just beautiful. And it's, if you've never been there, it's kind of halfway between San Francisco and Los Angeles. It's just beautiful. And we were at a great church. I was on the church board. This was our training ground. We both taught everything from kindergarten to seniors. And this is when, you know, we were fairly young. Pastor John White was our pastor. He was one of my best friends. And he just recently, just a few weeks ago, passed away. And it's kind of a side note. I had the opportunity to call him, and he was so excited that I called. And he was just joking around, and Teresa was able to hear the call. And he knew he only had a few weeks left, and he was just funny as always. And anyway, he passed away just a few weeks after that. And certainly what was a main influence in my life, Pastor John White. So at that time, another guy and myself had agreed to regularly seek the Lord. His name was Corky Britt. And so Corky was older than me, but that didn't matter. I always feel like once you're past, what, 30, everybody's the same, right? At least that's how we look at it. That's how I always looked at it. I've always had friends older than me, and now hopefully I have friends younger than me. But Corky and I would seek the Lord, and we would go down to the church and pray lots of mornings. And we would just pray and worship the Lord. It was just me and him. And one day, the Lord spoke something to me during that time, that he was going to do something tremendous at this church that would be for his glory. And what he ended up doing was not what I thought, but it was great in God's eyes. Now, as much as this is great that I'm going to mention to you, I hope this doesn't happen here, just because it was a heartache for John White as pastor. But I will tell you that all of his leaders ended up leaving the church, all for legitimately good reasons, and going far away, leaving the city, and all of his leaders. And they, each one, where they went, they ministered, and many people were saved. But it didn't happen there. It happened all over the place. Teresa and I were the last ones to go. And he has shared with me that was one of the worst days of his life, because we were kind of the last of his leaders. So when God said he was going to do something incredible, I was so excited. I didn't know that he was going to reach people by sending them away. So why did we leave? Well, God spoke to us through someone who didn't know anything about what the Lord had spoken to me about. You know, God was going to do this great thing. A scripture about obedience to the Lord. I thought, well, okay. At the time, it actually meant something quite a bit. I've had people say that to me before. You know, and that's good. But this really did mean something to me. Then we received a letter from a couple we never spoke to from Oregon, that God spoke to them that he was preparing us to make a move back to Oregon. Well, we didn't want to go, and especially I didn't want to go. I got to tell you that. But then another lady, a friend of ours, spoke to us that the Lord was preparing us to move. And I was like, I don't want to move. I love my job. I love this place. I got no reason to move. I don't want to move. And then my job, which I had loved, which was a dream job for me as I worked in the music industry in sales. And just because of the selling the instruments, and they would make musical instruments for well-known musicians. Lots of people use their product. I got to be around famous musicians and things like that. It was very exciting. I got to ride to work in my shorts and T-shirt on my bike. You know, if you've ever been to San Luis Obispo, three quarters of the year, it's in the 70s. It was just wonderful. But then all of a sudden, my job just took a sudden turn right in the midst of all this stuff. My sales manager, went through a divorce. And I mean, he took that out on everybody that was working there. Suddenly, my dream job became a real trial. It was awful. Confirmation after confirmation. For the first time, I began to go, okay, Lord, I think I can read the writing on the wall. And there are other confirmations I could tell you about. He made sure that we knew. I cried my eyes out the day we left. I was so bummed. Now, we had heard of a small Mennonite church in Oregon that was, what's crazy is that it was infighting terribly. It was a troubled church, small, middle of grass fields. But that God wanted to do a miracle there, and that we were to be a part of it. We also received that as a word. Doesn't sound very good. I didn't have a job. We had two little tiny kids. But we did it. We picked up and moved, but we had many confirmations. Much more to say. I'm not going to go through all the things that ended up happening. It was hard. Would you remember that? When God speaks something to you, that doesn't mean that everything's going to be easy. Okay? As a matter of fact, you're probably going to have to go through some stuff. I would almost guarantee it. But that's how you learn faith. That's how you learn trust in God. That's how you learn to love when it's hard. And so that's what we did. And so, as many of you know, we saw a great revival there. Lots and lots of people got saved. God brought leaders from all different walks of life, different denominations. That's why to this day, hey, if you're a Christian, I'm good. I don't care what denomination you're in. If you believe Jesus Christ lived, died, rose again, and that's how we're saved, let's go. And that's how I am. And known so many wonderful, wonderful, wonderful believers that are not a part of this denomination. Can you say amen? Yes, yes. All right. He confirmed over and over his word to us, though it was very difficult. So I want to say that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Bible says. Okay? So 2,000 years ago, he spoke to a young woman, as we know, a virgin, that she was to bear a child through the power of the Holy Spirit, and not just any child, but the Savior of the world. He loved Mary. God loved Mary. And he cared for Mary. He knew this was going to be so hard, and it was. And God gave many confirmations. And we'll talk next week about the birth of Christ. And today, God still speaks. And God still loves all of us. And he wants to use you if you will listen. Use you to what? Reach other people that they might know him. And I want to say this to you too. I have learned this, that just remember, when God speaks, when God moves in your life, It's not just for you. I said this not long ago. It's not just for you. As a matter of fact, it's going to be for others, and that others will come to know him. He's always about people. He doesn't ask you to do something just because. It's to reach people, okay? And it's not always this big thing where you need all these confirmations. Sometimes it's just as you're going throughout your day. And many of you know this. You know, whether it's you sense the Holy Spirit prompting you to, you know, maybe you've got 50 bucks in your pocket and you're like, oh, I need that 50 bucks. And the Lord says, I want you to give it to this young lady over here. And don't ask questions, just do it. Sometimes he does that. Sometimes, you know, you might be somewhere, maybe in public, and the Lord says, I want you to go pray with this person or ask him if they would like some prayer. And you might think, I'm out in public. Everybody's going to be looking at me. Well, maybe that's what God is saying. Okay? God does all different kinds of promptings. And remember, it's always to bring people to him. That's the goal. That's God's goal. And he wants to use us to do that. Not always do we have to have confirmation. Well, Lord, if you want me to go pray for that person, then I want there to be a brown Cadillac come driving up in front of me. Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3. No Cadillac. I'm not praying. I don't know how I come up with brown Cadillac. But sometimes he just wants us to help people. Remember, it's not about you. It's about God helping them. Okay? All right. But if he does speak something big that's going to take some faith, he will confirm it in your life. Okay? So just remember that. Don't be impetuous when it comes to big change in your life. And when I say impetuous, I mean don't just run after it. Okay? Seek the Lord. If it's big, if it's something, this is going to take faith, or this is going to be a big life change, God will confirm his word to you, okay? He will do that because he loves you, and he wants you to grow in that, okay? He is still the Savior of the world, and for Mary and Joseph 2,000 years ago, and for you and me today. And I would like to sing you a song all by myself. And it's a song that we do here. I wrote a few years ago. Actually, I wrote this a long time ago. I did like a choir version of it, and we have a nice recording of it if you ever want to hear it. But I changed it to be a worship song. So you can just sit while I do this song. It's called Savior of the World. And I did it from the standpoint of a shepherd. Thought about, well, you're just a shepherd out there. You're nobody. And suddenly you are witnessing the Messiah. And to me, it would be like, why me? Why am I here? So anyway, wrote a song about that.